Dale Stevens is with us. Not quite sure how to introduce him now. We know that he's standing for the National Party in Christchurch Central, but he's also had a lot of experience in New Zealand trade and enterprise and New Zealand tourism. I'm not quite sure if he still holds those positions, because then he would be former da-da-da-da-da. But how are you making a quid now, Dale? Tēnā koe.
Ngāti Māori, e ho, me tō kai whakarongo hoki, tēnā tātou katoa.
Kia ora, mate. So have you retired from those positions? You're able to maintain some heading into October? What's the situation for you?
So I sit on about six different boards across the country, four in the Māori space and two in the non-Māori, but the social agency space. And I've retained those roles, but with New Zealand Trade and Enterprise, I'm currently on leave of absence, pending the result of the election in October. So, yeah, I'm still heavily involved in that mahi in that area, but I don't speak as representative now of NZTE, but as a candidate for National.
Tēnā koe. But we can still talk about trade and enterprise issues as long as we clearly identify that, a former trade and enterprise Māori. Mm. Go-to guy, if we can use that term. Hey, Dale, thanks for joining us. Righto. So last week I noticed that we had an Aussie-New Zealand Leadership Forum wanting greater support to Indigenous development. But what could that look like going forward, do you think, Dale, for both our people and for Indigenous peoples across the two countries?
Yeah, so the Australian-New Zealand Leadership Forum has been going for about 20 years, give or take, with breaks for COVID, etc. But it has only been in the last 5 or 6 years that we've had what we call the Indigenous Business Sector Group come to life, and that's looking specifically at how we can coordinate and develop Indigenous growth between the two countries. One of the things that we've started focusing on at the forum is not just between New Zealand and Australia, but how we bring in Pacific Island whānau as well. And so one of the examples I think I might have mentioned to you previously is around the Commonwealth Games and the issue with Melbourne. And then pulling out. That was actually going to be a test case for us for how we could develop, joint tourism opportunities between the countries for our Indigenous people and joint, not just tourism, but in fact trade opportunities, leveraging off a global event like the Commonwealth Games. Of course, that's not happening, but we're still continuing to look at how we can grow Indigenous business opportunities. What we do know is that for our Indigenous groups all across the world who are wanting to get into international trade, possibly one of the easiest methods of getting into that arena is by trading with other Indigeneity. It's a far easier, I guess there's a commonality there that allows people to feel more comfortable as they take their first steps into the international arena. And so we're very keen on developing that, working with First Nations people, obviously in Australia. And we're doing that already with, for example, Samoa, where New Zealand Māori Tourism and Samoa have been working very closely on aligning tourism opportunities and seeing what that can be in terms of encouraging the growth of that sector in the islands as a first stop, and then we can look at how we deal with that with other Pacifica nations as well. So I see huge potential in using Indigenous to Indigenous or eye-to-eye business as an opportunity to get access to international markets for all our Indigenous whānau.
Have you been talking with Chris Luxon about the Māori economy, about Māori tourism, and about what potentially National could do to support our people in these areas? Is it a conversation that he appreciates having, if indeed it has occurred already?
Yeah, look, great question. Tama Pōtaka and I have spoken at length with not just Chris Luxon, but also with Michael Wallace, the likes of Paul Goldsmith, Todd McClay, people in that trade and economic development space, because one of the things that really is a huge opportunity for our Māori whānau is how we can help them to commercialise as they come out of that treaty settlement process. And there are many examples across the country where our iwi, hapū, whānau have commercialised with the benefit of their treaty settlements. And what we want to do, and what Chris is very keen on, is how we can accelerate those opportunities for our Māori whānau, because we've seen many examples now of where Māori, where we get the ability to commercialise and create jobs and revenue and intergenerational growth that also brings a strengthening of community. It brings a strengthening of the rohe around the marae. It brings pūtea back into that marae to allow social development programs. And we see many of the benefits of getting that commercial success as Māori, I think, do this better than anybody else. They spread the benefits of commercial success across our people so much better.
Describe your personal relationship with Ngāi Tahu, bearing in mind that you've had a lot of experience in Māori tourism and that they are one of the major Māori players in this sector.
Yeah, look, I have a strong relationship with Ngāi Tahu through all of the leadership, you know, with Lisa, with Arihia, with their chief financial officers. We've worked with them, and I've worked with them extensively on business, trade and social delivery opportunities, which is quite interesting because, of course, I whakapapa to Te Rārawa from the far north. But I guess as we go across the country, Māori relate to Māori really well. And I just think the environment that Ngāi Tahu have created and the partnership they have with the city and through Te Māori Tau with the university and the partnership program at University of Canterbury, I think these are all tremendous assets that bearing fruit across the city, as we're seeing great relationships between various communities, various groups, and Ngāi Tahu have done a tremendous amount of work to support the reconstruction efforts and the redevelopment efforts of Christchurch post-earthquake. So the relationship is really strong, and that's one of the things I really enjoy about campaigning here in Christchurch, because every day I'm out knocking on doors and I meet Ngāi Tahu people, and we have a great corridor. It's absolutely enjoyable.
Tēnā koe. And just finally, I note that easier movement between New Zealand and Oz is on the cards at the moment. Mm. Obviously, you've got a couple of hours this end. It's been sometimes problematic, although the smart gates at the other end seemingly allow us to get through pretty quickly, but an even more streamlined approach. What might that mean to visitor numbers going in both directions?
Yeah, look, I think it's great to hear the two top desks in our respective governments are now talking about this. This has been an issue that's been battered literally back and forward for the last 12, 13 years. We're in a position now with the advances of technology where transit through our two countries' borders by Aussies and Kiwis can be very fast and very efficient. The bigger picture for me, however, is what that means in terms of encouraging people from other countries into Australia, and then they can get quick access to New Zealand. How that would look, how we can safeguard that, at the same time encouraging tourism opportunities and business opportunities between the two countries. Frankly, I see the relationship between New Zealand and Australia and the borders as a two-edged sword. On one side, we can make it really convenient for Kiwis and Aussies. But on the other side, there are some downsides around risk, around our agricultural requirements, around our trade requirements. We need to be very careful with that. And around, I guess, the use of tax and tax havens. So we've got to just think this through carefully. It'd be nice to walk through the airport in 5 minutes, but also we need to think about those wider implications. And we're going to do it. We've got to get it right.
As always, appreciate your time and your thoughts. The best to you and the whānau going forward, and I look forward to our next kōrero.
I enjoyed your discussion about Te Makarai before, Iho. I had the pleasure of taking them to Japan in 2005 for the World Expo, and I'll tell you what, controlled dynamism on the stage. They're an amazing group.
Yeah. I'll be talking with Wetini a bit later. But they've touched the hearts of many, including me, because when I first saw them, I thought, heck, look at these guys. Yeah, they seem so different to the Kapa. But we've seen an evolution off the back of their challenging choreography, and our Kapas is very sophisticated now.
I had the pleasure of taking Te Matarai, Whangara and Pātia Māori Club in a 6-month period over to the World Expo, and talk about three different styles, but each contributed so well to presenting a great image for New Zealand. And that's the really important thing about our culture. We are the face of New Zealand.
Tēnā koe. Well, it's awesome experiences. I'm looking forward to your book. Thanks.
Got it.
Thanks, Dale. Thanks, man. Dale Stevens joining us regularly too, and it's right because of his experience.